I'm Charmaine Cook, and you're listening to You Too Have Hope with Carrie Cooper. Today's guest, Debbie Potts, became a believer after her new church challenged her to actually read the Bible. Soon after, however, disaster struck when her father committed suicide. Debbie had to rely on the Lord to pull her out of the darkness, and her faith in Him brought her husband and her adult children to Christ as well. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook. Just search You Too Have Hope. That's the letter U, the number 2, Have Hope. Whether it's timely blog updates or an encouraging word from Scripture, our social media sites are aimed at drawing you closer to God. Now, let's listen in on Carrie's conversation with Debbie.
Have you ever noticed how easy it is to be comfortable with our lives, our family, and school, and job, and activities, that before we know it, we've really forgotten about some of the deeper issues of life, like God? And it's kind of like we live in this bubble where everything is safe and protected and pleasant. And as you well know, those bubbles don't last forever, and our eyes are suddenly open to reality. Well, that's what happened to Debbie Potts, who's here today to describe the bubble bursting experience that God used in her life to deepen her faith and trust in Him. Debbie, it's great to have you here as a guest on You Too Have Hope. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie. I'm honored to be on the program as well. I've been looking forward to having this chat with you.
One of the things that I really love about your story, Debbie, is that it serves as an example of how God uses normal, everyday circumstances to redirect our attention and call us to just a deeper understanding and knowledge of Him. Tell us how that happened for you. Tell us how God got your attention.
Well, it really was a gradual process and not anything that I was expecting. I wasn't really looking for God at all in my life. I think of my life back then as a bubble because I had a very bubbly outlook on life. I've always been an optimist, and so I was the glass half full kind of a girl, and most of my life experiences fit right into that bubble kind of an image. I had a happy childhood and married my college sweetheart. He rose to the top of his profession very quickly, and we had a privileged life. We were in the typical prerequisite suburban house with a minivan and the two perfect kids. And we were just kind of like building this life, making these check marks. Check, check, check. We attended church. We were both raised in church, but for us it was more like a social thing, an obligation, something that we thought our children needed to be exposed to. But for me, it was really not a very deep thing. It was not something that I really understood very much about what God wanted me to be in my life. And along the way, my husband was invited to go live in Europe for his job.
Oh, what a wonderful opportunity.
And we were so excited about that. It was thrilling. It's something that we had talked about for many years, that might be a possibility, and we were thrilled when we got the call. Our kids were 5 and 10 at the time, and we said, yes, we're in. And so we headed off to Germany. We were there for about a year, and then we moved to a little country called Luxembourg. So it just fit into that bubbly life. But God had something more in mind than travel and culture.
Right.
So we started going to a church right away because, that's what we did back home. And we found a church that was non-denominational and had English services. When we walked into that church, it was so different from any church we'd ever seen before. But these people were real serious about the Bible. They really understood it. They read it. They carried them to church with them. And the pastor was a wonderful preacher and really was at a kind of a educational level. We really were getting a lot out of the message.
Right.
But it also caused a lot of confusion in me because I was wondering, how could this be so different from any other church I'd been to before? And so I kind of came to the conclusion that I needed to read the Bible for myself. So I joined a Bible study that I had heard about, and I was instantly in love with the study. And
really?
I've always loved relationships and learning about people and psychology. And this first study was called Christ in the Home. It was like a psychology study.
Oh,
and I was always saying to the women, this is in the Bible? I had no idea that, the Bible could help me in my relationship with my kids or with my husband. I loved the study, and I also loved getting to know the women in the study. And I began to see that they had some qualities that I lacked in my life. I had lots of stuff, lots of material things, but these women had some inner qualities, and they would tell stories about the difficulties they had been through, but they had this peace, even though they were going through difficult times. They had a purpose to their life that I knew I lacked. I secretly always wondered, why am I here?
Right.
You know, what am I doing here? What is my life all about? And they had power in their lives, even when they were weak.
Debbie, I love that you brought that up, because I think so many of us, that's our experience. We go to church because our parents go to church, or we go to church because that's just what we do. But I'm so glad that you were able to see that God even then began to chip away at that bubble that you mentioned, but you're seeing a heart difference.
Absolutely. It was the heart, and it was the acceptance of us as well. I mean, we were so green and we knew nothing, but these people just loved us everywhere we went. I mean, the church and the Bible study, we just had this sense of love from them. And so it wasn't long before I came to the realization that I'm really not a Christian according to what the Bible says. You know, I thought I went through all the traditions and the rituals and the ceremonies and voila, I was a Christian, but that really wasn't what they were talking about. They were talking about relationship with God, something that was very new for me to hear about.
What is different between the ceremonies and checking things off of a religious list, but instead finding God as your Father and deep, abiding relationship?
Yes, it has to do with love. Love is the base core of everything that God does. He created us to be in a relationship with us because he loves us. And he wants to have that close relationship. And he tells us throughout the entire Bible, the most important thing you need to know in life is to love me with everything you've got. But we don't do that. And we fail at it miserably because we're trying to do it under our own power. We're trying to do it our way. And so we fail to love him. And he can't be in a relationship with us if we don't love him back. So he decided that he needed to do something more graphic. And so he sent a visual aid, his son, Jesus, to come and live life on earth just like any other man, a human being in every sense of the word, but also God. And he lived life to show us what it looks like to love God with everything you've got. And in the process, he showed us how much God loves us.
That was the clearest presentation that I've heard of why God sent Jesus, and that's because he loves us. Now that you've come to a new understanding of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, how did that begin to change your family, yourself, your marriage? How did that spill over into those relationships?
You know, it was interesting. I had a huge catalyst that happened in my life just a couple months later, and I hadn't said anything to anybody that I had made this decision. My husband didn't know. My Bible study leader didn't know. My pastor didn't know. I wasn't aware that you should even tell people when you make a decision like that to let Jesus into your life. But 2 months after I had done that, we were on vacation. Well, one morning, we were woken up by the phone ringing in our hotel room. It was my brother-in-law calling us from the U.S. to tell us that my father, after a long battle with depression, had committed suicide.
Oh, Debbie.
And that was my bubble bursting experience. I mean, I can't even begin to explain the emotions and the feelings that went through me at that time. It was your worst nightmare. We had very little time to get to the airport. We were on, I think, 5 different flights to get home. It was 24 hours at least. And I separated from my family so I could get there right away. And so I was by myself. I was without family. I was without luggage. Not one person in all those flights or all those airports ever said, can I help you or can I give you a Kleenex? I mean, I was so alone from a human standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, I had so much wealth during that time that got me through those hours and those days and weeks ahead of me. I had the Bible. I had been in Bible study for a year at that point, and so I knew that I had to go to the Psalms for comfort. And I read every single one on those flights.
Well, Debbie, what stands out to me in what you just shared is that God had prepared you. And as awful and as devastating as the situation was, He had prepared you with that year of discipleship and training and mentoring so that you were equipped spiritually and you knew where to look in your Bible so that when the time came, you knew how to approach the Lord in your grief. So tell us how your husband and your family began to see the shift in your behavior and your faith. Surely, after witnessing you walk through this, that they noticed that something was different about you.
Oh, it was amazing, really. I knew there was something different about me, even though at the time I didn't know why it was different, but I felt different, and my husband saw it too. We were invited to read some scripture for the funeral, and right before the funeral started, my husband said, "I don't think I can do that. I can't be composed and go up and read that." And I said, "Yes, you can. Let's go pray." And so we went off into a private place in the church and prayed together for the first time in our 18-year marriage.
Wow.
In our own words. And we just asked God, "We want to honor you by reading this scripture. Please help us do that." And when we went up there, every word was clear. I almost feel the ground under my feet as I walked up there. I had this unusual sense that God was just carrying me through that time. And I didn't even know, I was so new. I didn't know, anything about what God does in your life when you have that relationship with Him, but I felt it. Just 2 months later, my husband also received a relationship with Christ. He invited God into his life, partly because what he saw in me, because he knew there was something different about me. And in the years since then, our kids both have grown up. They both are Christians. They've married Christian people. And I have 2 little grandsons now that are being raised to love Jesus, and they understand what that relationship means and have entered into that kind of a relationship as well. So it's such a blessing to look back and see, over these, it's been 18 years now in our marriage, 18 years without Jesus and 18 years with Jesus. So we've been married 36 years.
Oh, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment.
It is amazing. And, we are at the point now where we are mentoring into other couples' lives and helping them in their marriages and guiding them to put Christ in the center of their marriages, because it makes a huge difference.
Well, that's certainly a beautiful picture of how Christ transforms not only our lives, but those around us. Debbie, I'd like for you to take a moment to encourage our listeners now, many of whom are going through their own difficulties and their own tragic circumstances. What words of hope and encouragement could you give them today?
Well, Jesus says in the Bible, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come in." He's waiting to come and heal us from the inside out. And when we have these bubble bursting experiences, very often our hearts become very hard, especially if you have more than one. And for some reason, some people seem to have them over and over again. And your heart becomes hard, and you're not able to feel joy or peace or love at all anymore. And God wants to come in and change that. He doesn't want to fix your heart. He's going to give you a brand new heart that is healthy and pink and able to feel joy and love and peace. And He says that He will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. He will take out our stony, stubborn hearts and give us a tender, responsive heart. He wants to give us this abundant life. And when He knocks on that door, He's not going to barge in and make you receive that new gift. He wants you to answer the door and open it. And when we have company coming, they knock on our door and we let them in, but we've already prepared the house, we've cleaned it, we've made the food for them, and we work to make them feel comfortable. But when God stands at the door and knock and we open the door to him, he says, you just go sit down. I'm going to clean your house for you. I brought food. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to nourish you. And I'm going to make you at home. That's what he wants to do for us. All we need to do is open the door.
That's a beautiful way to describe that. And I do pray that those who are listening right now, if this is the very first time that they've heard that knock, or maybe this is the 100th time, this is the time to say, yes, I am tired of living an absolute rock bottom all the time. But the great thing that you just said is that God is going to clean up our mess for us from the inside out. Thank you for being a part of You Too Have Hope and sharing the hope of Christ today.
Thank you so much, Carrie. I really appreciate it.
One of the things that I love about this program is that I have the opportunity to showcase a nonprofit organization in your community. But since You Too Have Hope is heard all over the country, we take turns highlighting specific resources. Today I'm speaking with Mary Clemens Farmer, who's the founder of Healing Hearts Ministries. And although this organization is based in Dallas, Texas, listeners from any city may access their information by visiting hhmtexas.org. Mary, welcome to You Too Have Hope. I am so excited to hear your story and how God is working through Healing Hearts Ministries.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Mary, your ministry has a very specific target audience, which is victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. You know, after meeting with many people who have founded nonprofit organizations, I've noticed that ministries are typically born out of personal experience and hardship. And I'm really curious about the circumstances that led to you creating Healing Hearts Ministries.
Well, it probably started in my own personal life. I got married when I was 19 years old, and my husband was a preacher's kid. He decided he didn't want to serve the Lord anymore. He started abusing drugs, abusing alcohol, and abusing me.
Before you were married or after you were married?
It started about 2 years after we got married. That started with just a slap, and over the next 15 years, it progressed. In 2002, he was arrested for attempted murder for the last assault, and my daughter and I went into hiding. We fled to a domestic violence shelter, and my daughter finished the eighth grade in a shelter, completing her schoolwork online, submitting her reports and things to her teachers through email, while we just laid low, let the criminal process take its course and all of the investigations and things. And then after everything was final, we relocated to Texas. Started a brand new life, and God just started calling me into ministry.
So what does that look like? You know, because a lot of people, when we say we're called into ministry, it sounds a little unusual for somebody who's not familiar with kind of church lingo or
right.
Christianese. What does that look like, or what did you sense that God was asking you to do as your heart and your soul were being healed over that time period?
Well, I just knew that it was such a miracle for me to even be alive that I wanted to help other people, and I wanted to give them hope, and I wanted them to have help like I had received. That maybe if I had had help a little sooner or mm-hmm. known about resources, that maybe it wouldn't have taken 15 years for me to finally have the courage to walk out the door for the last time. So I just felt this drawing of wanting to help other women and other victims and to tell them how much God loves them and how much he wanted them to have a better life, and that he doesn't require us to sacrifice our lives for our spouses,
yeah.
that's not what his best for us was. And it was just, I think, that urgency inside of me of wanting to help other people.
I love what you said, that drawing, that it is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a burden that just doesn't go away, and it intensifies, and it is a drawing of you. It's almost irresistible where you can't not do it.
It'll drive you crazy,
yeah,
if you don't respond.
So tell me about Healing Hearts Ministry. What exactly is the function and purpose of this organization?
Well, it started out as a support group.
Okay.
And within the first couple of months, we probably had 17 women from our own church congregation mm-hmm. in our support group. And that was just a congregation of about 300 people. And we were like, oh my gosh, if we have this much response just from our own congregation, what is the real need in our community?
Right.
And there wasn't an agency in our community assisting victims. People from our county were having to go out of county to get help, if they got help at all. And that was just not acceptable because
no.
that's our moms, our sisters, our daughters, our aunts, even uncles and dads, because men are victims too. So it started out pretty much we opened an office, and within the first year in 2006, we were already seeing victims. So we have a 24-hour hotline. We offer counseling services, crisis intervention. We go to the hospital with sexual assault victims for their rape exam. We go to court with victims so they don't have to go through that process by themselves. We have a shelter. We also have a learning center now where we're offering parenting, anger management, other classes to the community. So we have a lot of great services. So we're actually a crisis center for our county.
And it sounds like it's all based on somebody who's walked through those
exactly.
those very experiences. I'd love for you to share with our listeners, you know, your ministry reaches obviously to hundreds, if not thousands of people, but there's got to be at least one of those women that stand out in your mind that has been touched by your ministry. Tell us her story.
Well, the person that really touched my heart very deeply was early on in the ministry, and we've served over 2,000 victims in the past 7 years. But this woman in particular came to our church to visit, and I saw her when she was walking in, and I was on the stage with the praise and worship team, and I saw her, and I just felt this nudging in my heart, this just great sense of love for her. And I didn't know her story. I'd never seen her before. And it just so happened that I went back and I sat down in an empty seat after praise and worship was over, and she had taken her kids to children's church, and she came out and she sat next to me, which was the oddest thing. And I just had this sense of peace about that she had a past that she was ashamed of. Mm. But she sat down and she said, I would never be accepted in a traditional church, because we were in a cowboy church, that I could never just walk through the doors of a church because of my life, I wouldn't be acceptable. And I just felt this great sense of love for her. And I was like, you know, this is exactly where you need to be, that there's no unacceptable people here,
right.
that there's no dress code, there's no rules, there's mm-hmm. no, it's just that God loves you and he loves you so much and we're so glad you're here.
Aww.
And come to find out, her husband had left her, and she was living in a house. He had turned off all the utilities. Her and her two kids were living in this house with no electricity, no water, and it was probably one of the coldest winters that Texas had had in years, and it was super cold out at Christmas time. And she was trying to heat a bedroom for her and these two kids with candles.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went and got her and her kids, and this was before we had our shelter. I took her home with me. She stayed in my spare bedroom. They had Christmas at my house, and she didn't have a car. She would walk to our office with these two kids to come to appointments and to come to support groups. She would walk to church and walk home. And we just loved on her in mm-hmm. the ministry. We loved on her at home. And she became one of the most faithful members of our church.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
It was the first time that she had ever felt accepted and the first time that she had ever really felt God's love. And she is still serving God. She's
that's amazing.
Gotten a job and a car and has relocated and is just living a great life.
I love to hear that. What saddens me is that there are individuals who feel that they can't go to certain churches because mm-hmm. of how people dress or the types of cars in the parking lot or just the style of the building. Mm-hmm. But oh my goodness, what an amazing gift that mm-hmm. God allowed her to cross your path and your church's path at just the right time and your ministry so that you could reach out to her and really meet her needs, not just her spiritual needs, but her physical needs as well. Tell us how people can find out more information about Healing Hearts.
Well, we have a website at hhmtexas.org. online. We're on Facebook. It's HHM Family Crisis Center on Facebook.
I would love for you, if you have one word of encouragement or hope that you can offer to our listeners, that this is a great time to share that with them, because you're the ministry of hope.
Thank you. I just think that God wants so much more for us, and it's not His will or His desire for us to be abused or to be stuck in addictions, to feel unloved and unwanted, that each person is precious to Him in a very intimate and personal way, and He loves us so much that He's waiting for us to just say yes to Him.
Mary, thank you so much for joining me on You Too Have Hope. I love hearing about the work God is doing through Healing Hearts Ministries. And to you, our listeners, if you'd like more information about how to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, you may go to youtoohavehope.com and submit your question on the contact page. I'd love to hear from you.
You Too Have Hope strives to bring you stories of faith and encouragement to enrich your walk with Christ. We hope you've been uplifted by today's broadcast. If God has used You Too Have Hope to encourage your faith, there are two easy ways to connect with us. Leave a comment on youtoohavehope.com or post your thoughts on our Facebook page. We'd really love to hear from you. We look forward to getting together with you next week, same time, same station, for another life-changing discussion with people who've witnessed the tangible work of God in their lives and discover how you too can have the hope of Jesus Christ.